The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. These are dark, dark days. I mean, they really are, and it is so easy to become despondent. It's easy to become depressed. These are dark days. They are. These are, the whole COVID-19 thing was causing deep depression for so many people, and now we've got this. The downtown of Columbus will be completely shut down again tonight. Protests all over America, and I mean all over America. But please continue to trust the promises of God. Continue to put your hope and trust in God, not in circumstances. Of course, the circumstances are real and they're genuine. And they can cause us to feel down, down, down. But make the choice to believe that God knew all about this. This is no surprise to God. This country is in God's hands. We were praying that this COVID-19 thing would bring about revival, and now we have these protests, demonstrations, looting, violence. Maybe this is what God has designed to really grab our attention and bring about a spirit of revival. Maybe this is what is needed for churches to wake up and realize they must be an influence in the community. So many churches have just been in cruise control. You know, as long as the light bill is paid and there are warm bodies in the seats, whether you have pews or chairs, as long as you can pay the bills, then everything's okay. Just kind of, like I said, in cruise control. You do the same thing every Sunday, Sunday in, Sunday out. Our whole world has been turned upside down. The world of our churches has been turned absolutely upside down. It is not business as usual. And we don't know when it will be. If the COVID-19 thing didn't get our attention as local churches, then maybe this will. And so let's let God do what he wants to do. Let's stay surrendered to him. And let God be God. How often do we try to take our burdens? We try to take things on ourselves. Just let God be God. He does a pretty good job of being God. And, maybe this will help us all pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. This is unusual and unique to us. This whole lockdown, shutdown, this is unparalleled in our lifetime. We've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. The riots and so forth, we have seen, for some of you, Many of you are much too young, but the 60s, if you're old enough, you remember how horribly divided our nation was in the 60s. And I believe it was about as widespread as it is today. So we've been there before. And as I said, growing up in Southern California, I remember the fear as a young person. I remember that. But don't be overcome with evil or despair or hopelessness. Yeah, I've said this before, and it sounds like such a cliche, but it is so true. Light shines brightest in the darkness. And if we are surrounded by people who are losing hope, if we're surrounded by people who are afraid and frightened, I mean, by the protests, by the COVID-19 thing, if we are surrounded by that kind of darkness and despair, what an opportunity you and I have to be an oasis of calm and peace. The last 2 days, I just keep thinking about this program as an oasis. Hey, and by the way, I gotta share some good news with you. My goodness, I gotta share good news with you. I meant to do this much earlier in the program, forgive me. On Thursday, I came to you asking you to set 34 slaves free in Sudan. 34 slaves, $8,400, because it takes $250 to set a slave free. Well, we didn't quite make it on Thursday, and on Friday I asked you, folks, we got to do this by 6 o'clock on Friday. We have the responsibility of setting 34 slaves free. You have gone so far above that, and I have not thanked, I don't believe, Kim in Orient, Charles in Columbus, Serena in Lancaster, Beverly in Circleville, and Wes and Mary in Plain City. I don't believe I have thanked any of you. But because of all your gifts and your donations, our new total, remember our goal was $8,400? Our new total is $10,500. And $45. Over 40 slaves are going to be set free. In the middle of all this darkness and evil and doom and gloom and despair and division, you folks have given and given and given and given $10,545. Now, if you have not had an opportunity to give, yes, you still can this week. The banner is still up at thewordcolumbus.com, thewordcolumbus.com. Yes, you can still give. Or you can call 888-253-3522. Wes and Mary called yesterday. Beverly called yesterday. Serena called yesterday. Charles called yesterday. And I just mentioned it, I think, one time. And four of you precious listeners called 888-253-3522 because you wanted to see more slaves set free. For every $250, a slave in Sudan is set free. You want to keep it going? 888-253-3522. It's just... I can't get over this audience. I just can't. I can't get over it. If you want to participate, 888-253-3522, or go to thewordcolumbus.com, thewordcolumbus.com. Click on the Christian Solidarity International tab. All right, we're going to take a break. Jim in Lewis Center. Can't wait. From looking at the screen, I can't wait to talk to you. Jim and Lewis Center, hang tight. I'll come to you as soon as we return. But again, folks, we can set some more slaves free. 888-253-3522. 888-253-3522. 35:22.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live as we wrap things up today. But first, we're going to go to Jim in Lewis Center. Jim, thank you for calling and... I can't wait to hear what you're going to say, considering what I'm looking at on my screener. Welcome.
Thank you, Bob. I tell you, I got a big problem because, you know, Bible says that I'm supposed to be salt and light. And I have some Christian friends that think sometimes I'm too much salt and light on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because I do challenge stuff that's wrong. And that's perceived by some of my Christian friends to be hate speech. Oh, we need to love these people. We can't, you know, that's the problem. Now we have to love all these people. And I don't hate these people, but I sure hate every single thing they're doing when they loot and destroy and all the things that's going on like that. And so I guess my question is, if I love them and they don't know about it, it's not going to make any difference. So I wonder how many Christians are downtown passing out tracts and standing in those stores when the people walk out with a TV that's sold and say, oh, here's a tract that I pray for you, and I have a sign that says God loves you. I don't think there's many down there like that.
Well, whether they know it or not is not nearly as important as whether God knows. God knows our heart. And yes, we are to love them. Now, loving someone does not condone wrong behavior. We learn that as parents, you know, something that my wife and I told our kids, there is absolutely nothing you can do ever to stop us from loving you. Now, we didn't always agree with what they did, and there were times that we chastised them severely for
right.
what they did. But that didn't yep. change the fact that we loved them. And
right.
my heart goes out, Jim, to these empty people who feel that the only response they have is to go break out some windows and steal something. That indicates such an empty, empty, empty life. No direction. And it indicates that they have not been taught right. They have not been loved right. They have not been raised right. It means they've got an emptiness in their heart and their soul. Now, does that diminish the wrongness of what they're doing? No, not at all. But it does cause me to have pity for them. And I think, by the way, Jim, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. I brought up, Joy and I have a little Facebook group that we call The Road to Victory. And we've been doing live videos now for several weeks since all this COVID-19. And the last one we did was just a few nights ago. And I shared some thoughts from Psalm 73, The Road to Brokenness. Psalm 73 was written by Asaph. Most of you know not all the Psalms were written by David. The majority of them were, but not all of them. Several are ascribed to Asaph. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Asaph, except that he was the leader of worship in David's court, an exalted position, understanding David's attitude towards music and worship. And yet, in Psalm 73, Asaph begins by saying, you know what? God cares for everybody but me. God doesn't care about me. God's angry with me. And then he goes from that to looking at other people, and he is envious of them. He's envious of the rich, envious of the wealthy, envious of the prosperous. And he basically says, here I am serving God, honoring God, and what has it got me? It's got me nothing. All of these people, these wicked people, these evil people, they're the ones that are getting ahead. They're the ones that are prospering. And then look at me. Here I am serving God. Oh, woe is me. It's kind of like the Elijah thing. I, only I, and so forth. Until God brings Asaph to a place of complete despair and brokenness. I call the message the road to brokenness. Asaph finds himself down in a deep, deep, dark valley. And he doesn't know whether God loves him or not. He doesn't understand the circumstances that have turned against him. And everybody else is doing well except him. But then he has a divine encounter with God. And then he says, they're not the problem. I am. It's my attitude. It's my heart. It's not them. It's me. And then he turns to the people that he was so envious of and angry at, and he says, oh my goodness, they don't have God. And because they don't have God like I do, they're going to stand judgment. They're going to be judged by God. One day they're going to have to stand before God. Oh, my goodness. And his anger and his envy and his resentment turns to pity. He pities them. Now, what changed? The evil people didn't change. And I think as we look at the rioters and the looters, of course we don't condone what they're doing. Of course not. And the laws have to be upheld and arrests need to be made and the National Guard may need to be called in. But I think there needs to be a pity. These people have no hope. They don't have any direction. They don't have a moral compass. They've not been taught. Most of them have been raised in a home with no father at all. And they're acting out. It's not right. But we can certainly pity them and pray for them. Again, ultimately the answer is spiritual. Psalm 73 is just an incredible, incredible psalm. Things change dramatically between the beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm, but it's not the circumstances, it's not other people. It's Asaph. Have a great evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.